first one. And, of course, my wife and Lori for them speaking yesterday, and appreciate that. Looking forward to the next one. Also, do be praying. We did have a visitor who fell and broke her wrist here before Sunday school this morning. Out coming in from the parking lot outside the door. So I'll be stopping by after the service this morning. Go by and visit her. Proverbs chapter 31. There. All right, Proverbs 31. I'm going to start reading this in verse 26 through 28. And this is just going to be a way to jump into this using this text here this morning. And but let's just look at these a few verses here in Proverbs 31, starting there in verse 26. It says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I do thank you for your word, and ask your blessing upon the message here this morning. I pray you can help in our lives and draw us closer to you. Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ, Lord, as their Savior, they don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. Lord, we do pray that you use this message to convict them and draw them unto Jesus Christ. That even here this morning, they would put their faith in Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd bless and you'd be glorified in all that's said and done. We do pray a special blessing on our moms today. We pray that this would be a help and an encouragement to them. Again, Lord, I love you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There was a young father. He was trying to explain the concept of marriage to the little child, about 3 or 4 years old. And he had out the wedding album. And he was going over all the pictures in the wedding album and trying to explain to him what the wedding was and a marriage was. And the little toddler's trying to grasp all this. And he pretty much finished. He said, "Well, do you have a look? I guess some questions." And he pointed to a picture of mom and dad there, and they got married. And the toddler had said, the little girl had said, "So is this the day when mom came to work for us?" And I don't know what the dad said. I guess he probably just said yes. I'm not sure. But the fact is, the mothers do quite a lot for us. As the video portrayed, when a mother's doing right and not eating the bread of idleness, it's amazing how much work goes into a household. And they are the ones appointed by God to guide the house. It is, again, this is the very first institution that God has given, is that of the family. And the devil knows that it's all of God's institutions, the devil is always trying to attack and corrupt. He knows that when the Creator gives us an institution, there's a reason, there's a purpose for it. And in the end, it's all going to lead to glorify God. So he's going to attack the home. And so he's implemented many different strategies throughout time in attacking the home. But one of his primary ones we've seen in our own nation, especially in the last 100-150 years, is to attack the position of a mother and of a wife. And he's done this in recent decades here, again, by lessening the position of a mother, by degrading it as if it was nothing. There was different things that came out as if that just wasn't a good enough thing to do. And we had different programs come in that were more humanistic in their approach to it, and it was sort of a subtle attack. That the devil never comes, blazing forward and say, "Listen, this is satanic, this is not of God." He always tries to present enough truth or enough of something to introduce his lie, to twist it. And he's been doing it for 6,000 years. He knows what he's doing. When it comes to areas of the home or the Word of God or church, these are things we need to be on guard for. And, I remember thinking back to, I guess it was in the 90s the program began. I was in the Air Force at the time. To take your daughter to work day. And all that sounds fine and dandy, and I remember when the program hit, but still there's a philosophy behind it that you don't want to simply be a mom. That there's something more than that that's out there. Again, it was an underlying current lessening the position of a mother. And so anyhow, the attacks have been there over the years of the devil trying to remove the mother from the home, to remove that influence, or to remove even a godly influence from being in the home. I mean, think about it. Who else on earth has more desire for their child to succeed than mom? Who else has more desire for their child to do what's right than the mother? Who else has more desire in the child to serve the Lord than the mother? And again, it's also through the life of a mother that a child does first begins to learn that of personal sacrifice and putting others first. She sees that in the life of mom. The devil has to get the mom out of the home, of course, to ruin that, the power of that example. There's always power in our example and how we live our lives. Again, and we live in, and we see it with produced as the culture had turned and changed for everybody to think about themselves. From dad, you think about you. You're number one. Mom, you think about you and your life. And what we have produced is the me now, the selfie generation. They followed the example of the parents, where it's simply about me. That's what it's about. It's not about sacrificing for anybody else. One of the key elements of that philosophy was going to be successful, of course, was to get mom out of the home so there was an example of personal sacrifice. And I believe this generation has lost the influence of godly mothers. Again, how you raise your children is vital. In our text, we see the results of a godly mother. Proverbs 31, of course, is dealing with that. And the verses we read basically sum up the case that it has been making. It brings the point out that her children and her husband will rise and call her blessed. Again, the verses sum up her life. And it breaks it down into three different areas. I'm not going to preach on those right now, but they're sort of the basis of where I'm going to be going. I could preach on these three things. It certainly would work, but that'd be another message. It says, one, that her words came from wisdom and kindness. The importance of a mother's speech in the house. The power they hold. This is the key to her whole life. Her words were not of harshness. They were not of hardness. They were with wisdom and with kindness. The devil will work to destroy that in the life of a mom, by the way, your speech. Because there's power in it when it's of wisdom and kindness. Not only that, she looked well to the ways of her household. She's not selfish. Again, her life was about her husband and her children. Of course, she did not eat the bread of idleness either. She was not lazy. There's work involved, as we've seen in the video. There certainly is. And just like it said, 365 days a year, there is no break to it. How many times on Sunday nights do we hear a testimony come in, time and time again, of any family in here who has toddlers in the house and the mom happened to go away for 4 or 5 hours? Sunday night, they're the first ones up there, all the husbands. I thank God for my wife. I was home with the kids for 4 hours, and I thought I was going to die. All right? I've met all the dads yesterday at the Women of Virtue who were just waiting for this thing to end. So their wives can get home and get all of the kids. I remember those times being there at home with the kids and have all of them screaming. Especially Heather would just be screaming right at me like the whole time. She still does that to this day. But we see examples of this in Proverbs 31, I believe, of those things played out in the lives of mothers in Scripture. I have a few down here that to speak about, but I'm probably only get to maybe one. Definitely one, of course, maybe two. I've got about four on here, but I'm certainly won't get to all four. Probably just one or two of them. But again, moms, your children learn from you. The example that you provide. And so let's look at some mothers who have some great attributes about them and had great influence on the lives of their children, and all of their children went on to do some amazing things. Let's start off in the book of Exodus, Jacob. Exodus chapter 2. Context, they're going back into chapter 1. And Joseph is dead. They're dealing about 400 years now in Egypt since they came in under Joseph back 400 years earlier. And Egypt was concerned because of the population of the children of Israel. You see that, I believe, starting around verse 9. And yes, in verse 9, they realized their strength and how many there were there. So they had to come up with a plan to try and control the population and to keep them occupied and burden them down. So any ideas of revolt or overthrowing, trying to weaken them. So they they put a few things into place. Verse 11, and therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasures, cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service where they made them serve was with rigor. Verse 15, and Dex was the Lachans in the place now, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said unto the officer of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, and if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. So that's the law that went into place. And now let's drop down here to Exodus chapter 2 and look at verse 2. This is dealing with, Jochebed. And the woman conceived and bare a son. She saw him that he was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. She could no longer hide him. She took him from an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. Put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister, Miriam, that would be, stood afar off to wit that would be done to him. Now let me drop down for time's sake here to verse 7. Then said his sister, now what happened here, the daughter of Pharaoh has found, obviously, the baby who is Moses, and has taken her out. Miriam has witnessed this take place, and now we come to verse 7, she's speaking to Pharaoh's daughter. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Again, interesting what takes place with Jochebed. She is the only woman that is mentioned as a result of being a mother in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at that here in just a second. She's the only woman in Hebrews chapter 11 that's there for being a mother, for what she did as a mom. And so she's highly lifted up in the Word of God as a result of her faith. And again, so they have a law in place here that you had to kill the male children. And of course, Moses is born unto her, and they see that it's a goodly child. That means it was there was strength there. There's positive attributes about him. I kind of laughed at this because, you know, you think about who's writing this. It's Moses. Moses is writing about himself, what a goodly child he was when he was born. I mean, in my mind, I picture this. I kid you not, I was thinking about this. I pictured Moses writing a whole lot more. Man, he was handsome. This guy was going to be so successful. He probably went on and on, and the Lord interrupted him. No, Moses, take it all out. Just leave goodly in there, and that's enough. So Moses, again, he's writing this down about himself. And, anyhow, you think of how God worked. Once they decide to put him in that ark that they made, they send him down the river. Miriam, his sister, is following close by. And sure enough, it just happens to be that Pharaoh's daughter is there. She takes Moses out of the water and out of the ark. And Miriam says, listen, I can go get another woman there to help you with the child, a nurse, who would help raise the child. And so anyhow, Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, go ahead and do that. So she heads off and goes and gets Jochebed, and she comes back, and she's able to still spend time with her child and helping to raise it. Just really incredible circumstance is here at how what the Lord does to be able to have Moses' actual mom still take part in his initial upbringing. Again, I think this demonstrates how God always provides us with opportunities to raise our children right if we're going to do it. This was a mother who demonstrated great faith. Again, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23 starts off by saying, by faith Moses, but really Moses is not really directed until you get down to verse 24. It switches here to mom and dad. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king. And so, know about Moses. Obviously, he learned of this event. I mean, Lord's using him to pen in the first five books of the Bible. He knows what mom did. He had to learn of the faith of what it took to know that mom had put her life in jeopardy for his by letting him stay alive. But when Moses was born, she wasn't not about that. Any harm come to them. I don't know how they devised the little plan that they did. It was clearly all of the Lord. But again, you see the Lord's hand in it, his providence and his sovereignty and all that comes to pass. And she demonstrates clear faith. That's why she's in Hebrews chapter 11. She did not let the circumstances of her day dictate how she approached her position of a mother. She allowed faith in God to do just that. Your children, if they are going to be successful for the Lord, what they need to see in the home is faith demonstrated. Again, think of how this did affect Moses when he learned of his mother's faith. When she was faced with that impossible decision, when it could have easily had met her mother's life and her father and his dad's life. This would affect Moses greatly when he learns of it. Again, think of the decisions that Moses would face. He too would end up choosing a path that would put his very life in jeopardy, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The very first place he learned that example was from mom at home, when mom demonstrated faith. Listen, difficulties we face can serve as great examples and moments before our children. Listen, if there are no struggles and trials within our families at times, our children never get to see faith demonstrated. The army of Israel never had a chance to demonstrate their faith until they faced Goliath. Then that's when their faith came out, and it failed miserably. When everything's going well, it doesn't take much faith to live day by day, does it? It's when your world falls apart or trials come and serious issues come into the home where others begin to see how you live your faith. And mom is key in that role. Listen, when struggles come up and trials come up, even during the day when different things come up, understand that those difficulties that come into play, those are opportunities you have, those are moments you have from the Lord to demonstrate faith before your children. I think one of the reasons why a lot of my kids want to serve God today was because of the faith they saw in their mother during times of adversity. During times of adversity, when we're sitting in TNG, and they could see faith demonstrated. They could see it lived out. So remember, when we do have those different trials and storms come up, it's time for you to demonstrate faith. Listen, the lesson when you're practically living by faith is much more powerful before your children than just saying it. They need the words as well, but they need to see it lived out in the home. They really need to see the Christian life lived out. And that does start with mom. I mean, for all the younger years, and then those who homeschool, even longer into that, you are the dominant person in their life who they're spending the most of their time with. Listen, it was God the one who organized that and put that into place for mom to guide the house. They need to see a mother's faith. They need to see how a godly mom acts during times of adversity. I think Moses recognized that and perhaps even learned that at a later time about his mom. Jacobet was also doing her best not to let her children, I think, go to the world. Listen, parents, don't let your children go to the world. Now, put those things in place. I mean, Miriam there is going down by the ark and trying to stay back. I mean, they had an idea, no doubt, of what could take place. I don't think they absolutely believed that it would be Pharaoh's daughter necessarily that was going to come in. It was all the sovereignty of God. It was all the sovereignty of God, even when Miriam happened to be there and saw what took place. And she spoke up and said, wait, I know something I can get that can help you with the child. Because the Lord put that instant bond from Pharaoh's daughter to Moses right there. That was all of God. And so Jacob had Moses was actually not going to have that influence in his younger years in his life. Wanted that. She didn't want him to go to the world. She didn't want him to become like Egypt. You can see those principles coming out in his life, of course, later on when he is an adult. think what Moses accomplished with his life, and I believe Mom had a great deal to do with that, with the faith that Mom demonstrated. I mean, Moses himself would make it into Hebrews chapter 11. He endured a seeing him who is invisible. He was a man, again, choosing to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you think how the Lord used him. I mean, still to this day, they in the nation of Israel, it's referred to as, you know, Moses is perhaps the most revered of anybody in the Old Testament to this day. It was amazing how the Lord ended up using him in his life. And the faith of his mother affected him. Really, it is an awesome responsibility, moms, to know that your actions towards God will affect your children. See, it's more than just bringing in the church. That's part of it. But really, somehow we got the idea down that if we just bring our kids to church, they're going to turn out fine. I don't think they're going to turn out fine apart from the Lord's institution when we're Christians. We need to be in church. But that's not the end all right there. By no means does that mean because you have your children in church that they're going to turn out right. Obviously, we'd be blind and foolish to recognize that with the amount of kids, once they're 18 and 19, who want nothing to do with church. It wasn't just having them here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's about actually living your faith before your children. It's not only just simply the messages from the pulpit that they hear, it's the messages coming from the mouths of mom and dad that they hear at home. Moses was used in a great way. And as mothers, you have an awesome responsibility before your family. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Principles in her life that I like. Let's see. For time, we'll review the story here a little bit. I'm not going to read all the way through it. Hannah, and, well, let me start up here. Let's start right around verse 1 to jump around a little bit. Got my glasses. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathan-Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zub, and an Ephraim. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, we are familiar with the story, and I imagine most of us are here, with Elkanah's wife Hannah, who was barren. And of course, the husband, he greatly loved his wife. She was incredibly burdened because she could have no children. And verse 11, we pick it up, is where she's praying before God and asking God to give her a child. Verse 11, she says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she's been begging God for God to give her a child. She makes the vow here. Let's jump down to the Lord gives her a child. The Lord honors that. Let's jump down, verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Remember, Eli had heard her prayer and even thought she was drinking or something like that. She said, no, of course not. I'm just burdened down. I've been asking God to give me a child. And of course, and Eli heard that and said, you know, so be it unto you. And so now she's honoring her vow she made to God and bringing the child back to the Lord. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition of which I asked of him. Therefore, whoso I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, again, Hannah, it was just an amazing story here of her faith and her dedication, and even what she was willing to do here when she brought Samuel to stay there with Eli. After she had weaned him after his younger years, she brings him there to stay with the man of God, saying, she made the vow to God, listen, I'll raise him for you. This will be yours. She honored her vow. But there's just a few principles here that I want to draw from her life that I believe led to a lot of Samuel's success before God. One, she was right with her husband. This is one of the keys, I think, to being a godly mother. Your children will learn a lot about human relationships as a result of your relationship with your spouse. That's the primary interaction they're going to see between humans is going to be between mom and dad and how they respond to each other. Your kids will learn much in how you interact with your husband or with your wife. They're going to learn about kindness. They're going to learn about grace. So they're going to learn, we can go any direction with this. They can learn about sin. They can learn about forgiveness. They can learn about courage. They can learn about faith. All by the interactions between mom and dad. They're going to see that in the home. But we can see by the relationship that they had that it was one that was right between those two. We see another thing that took place in the relationship with her husband. Verse 3, and it says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And tie that in with, what's the other verse I'm going to need here? Let me jump down here. Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. That's all I need to read of that verse. The plural in these ones is dealing with Eli and his wife. Alright? Elkanah and his wife, Hannah. They worshiped together. They worshiped the Lord together. I think that was a key in their home. Of course, even Samuel saw that again in his younger years and growing up, those foundational years. They witnessed mom and dad worshiping together. It was a great picture. And I think that perhaps is one of my favorite part of their relationship is how they worshiped the Lord together. We also see in verse 5, they had a love for each other. It talks about, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So Eli Samuel's grown up, he saw the love that they had between mom and dad. They saw them worship together. And they also, no doubt, witnessed in verse 8, we see in the relationship themselves, they talked about the struggles they had. Hannah was burned down. It was something that was talked about in the house between the husband and wife. He just didn't blow it off. It was things they discussed. Because she was burdened by it, he was burdened by it. These would have been elements and attributes that Samuel would have witnessed in his life in his younger years growing up in that household. Again, I believe these two had the right ingredients to have a godly home in place. I mean, they saw how mom did not let the trial she was facing turn her against God. She saw how it caused mom to run towards God. And he would learn of this himself. He had parents that when they did have issues in the house, they talked about and dad led it. He was the leader in that as they discussed those things out. He saw parents as he grew up that would worship God together. Again, these are elements to a godly home to having our children turn out right. So she was right with her husband, but we also know she was right with God. I mean, she's seeking him. She's seeking the Lord. She's praying to God. Begging God. And again, I dealt with this, I don't remember when it was or not too long ago. But again, be a mom who prays. Let your children see you praying. Let them know that when things do come up, I know what mom's going to be doing. She's going to be praying. Again, as they see your faith, it's going to affect them. We also see she was right with God because she did not want a child simply for selfish reasons. I know that she had the desire that the Lord put for herself, put there from the Lord to desire a child, and that's right, normal, nothing sinful about that, nothing wrong about it. But with her, it goes to another unselfish level. I mean, she makes the vow, if you'll give me the child, I want to raise him for you. I'll give him back. You see her unselfishness. And no, you know, and Samuel in his younger years would have saw that in mom, the unselfishness that was there. Again, I think our parents and moms need to determine to raise our children for the Lord, not for the world. The most important thing you can give your children is not financial security. That is nonsense. It is not a good education. That first and foremost is a good education. No, it isn't. That's not what's most important that you can give your children. It's not even good morals for that matter. I can think of family that I have that are without Christ, and they have good morals, good moral upbringing. But that's not what's most important. The most important thing you can give them is a love for Almighty God. That they understand what the gospel is about. They come into that time of conversion, and you produce in their life a love for God. That should be your goal as parents. If that's in place and they're seeking God, do you understand that all those other things we tend to worry about will be taken care of? All of them. But if they don't have the education, they're not going to make it in society. I have news for you. If they're not right with God, they're not going to make it for eternity. The key isn't having them right in our culture. The key is having them right with their Creator. Teaching them and guiding them to be able to depend upon Almighty God in their life. Teaching them that He is what's most important, that He is what you seek. But in the homes, you might have them in church, but in the homes, if the home is really apart from God in the home, where decisions are made not with God at the forefront. How do you think that child is going to make decisions when they get older? When all of a sudden they're getting ready to leave the house and now they're making those offering, life-changing decisions. And they don't even want to consider about those. We'll still go to church and we'll sit down and hold our Bibles. I mean, that's fine. You know, they might have that. They know they can sit in church and, you know, listen to a message. You know, we're here. It's honoring God. You know, it has that place. But they know when that's over with, okay, that was God's place. Now when we actually live life, you know, that's not so important now. That we actually seek God. Then they begin, again, they begin making those major decisions about where they're going next in life. They're going to make decisions on who they're going to spend their relationships with where mom and, when mom and dad are no longer around. They're going to make a decision on, you know, college, university, military, whatever. Man, if God's not at the center of that, if their life really isn't about seeking God, what do you want with my life? We're missing raising our kids for what is most important. Let's think if you're raising for the idea that it's all about financial security and education, which we see that throughout our churches still. That's what parents tend to raise their children for. Financial security and good education. Find a good job. That's what this is all about. And they do that. And you succeed at that in their life. They find a good job. They, you know, there's maybe without any even major problems. And that doesn't have too much in our culture. But let's just give the benefit of the doubt that there isn't any major problem. But they live their life apart from the will of God because they never sought Him. What will that matter in eternity? What will it matter? Again, she was unselfish, showing she was right with God. She sought the Lord in prayer. She was also what was clearly demonstrating, he was old enough to recognize this, even though it meant personal sacrifice, she stayed faithful to her word. I mean, think of what a tough day that was for Hannah when she dropped him off. I mean, I was miserable when my son left and he was 18 years old for college, and that's the time he was supposed to leave when the first one left the house. And I was a wreck. But think of the sacrifice she took. Samuel witnessed a mom who was faithful to her word before God. What she promised to God, Samuel knew mom gave to God. That you follow through with your promises you make before Him. What a great lesson for our children to show faithfulness to God. We also see not only was she right with her husband, she was right with God. She took her responsibility as a mother very serious. You can see that from verses 21, 22, 23. She did not get off track. She stayed focused on her responsibilities as a mother. It's going to be amazing as soon as you become a mom and all the different distractions are coming to play to try and pull you out of that role. She stayed focused on it. It said that by the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. They say a person who does not have any children enjoys the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. That's one reason we want to avoid it today. If you notice those three attributes, when we go back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 31, I'm going to finish up here with this. In Proverbs chapter 31, you had her speaking the law. Her words were important. She spoke with wisdom and kindness. She looked well. She had the unselfishness in place. Looked well to the ways of her household. What she did in Proverbs 31, the whole purpose of it was for her household. And then, of course, she did not eat the bread of idleness. We see the same thing, of course, here in Anna. She worked hard, and it takes a lot of hard work and diligence to be a mom. But boy, when you see in the Bible what a lot of these mothers produce, Samuel went on, of course, to be the great prophet of God, instrumental in this changing of Israel as they head into a monarch time frame. And all that he had to deal with is incredible. And again, his mother's influence had a great effect on his life, just like Moses' mom had an effect on him. A four-year-old and a six-year-old had presented their mom with a plant. And they bought it off site. They'd used up their money they saved up for it, and they were all thrilled. But the older of the two, the six-year-old, had a sad face. And he said to his mom that there was really actually a really nice bouquet that was there that we wanted to give you at the flower shop, but we couldn't afford it. He said it was really pretty, but it was just too expensive for us. It had a ribbon on it, and it was perfect for you, Mom. It said, "Rest in peace." And we thought this would just be perfect for you since you are always asking for a little peace and quiet so you could rest. Listen, there is a lot of work that goes into being a mom. And you want to know who notices it more than anyone when you are being faithful to it? That's the Creator. That's Him. And what we all would recognize is, you know, when we face trials, I'm not trying to, remember, the Lord knows that we're human. When we face trials and struggles, it doesn't mean you have to face it like super Christian. It doesn't mean you've got your cape on and everything like that, and we have this. They might see mom and dad break down and cry because of what they're facing. They need to see that at times, as a matter of fact. It's the response back that's required of faith. It's not the question of how much those different things challenge us. Of course they do. It's how we respond back. That's important in the life of our children. Please don't let our culture of today demean you and degrade the position that you have as a wife and as a mother. It truly is one of the most important God-given positions on the planet. The influence you have, your child might be the next Moses, the next Samuel. A lot of that goes right back to what they saw in the life of mom. Mom's faith. Mom's walk with God. Dad, too, but this is for mom. We'll get to dad on Father's Day. But mom, you're so important in the life of your children. May they see your faith demonstrated before them. Heads bowed and eyes closed.